Now, what I want to show you, as we have been going through the highlights of Genesis, we need to understand who is the author. The author of Genesis is Moses. We need to understand the audience. The audience is the children of Israel. It is so important for us to understand the historical stories or the historical narratives. Very important to understand so we can interpret this in the light of the historical narratives. Unfortunately, today, many evangelical churches, when they read like the Old Testament, they interpret this into their practical lives, how it relates to their lives. But they completely forget the historical narratives. By doing so, they miss the whole picture. So they miss the whole picture, and it's very unfortunate that they miss a great blessing. But we need to see the historical background here. The children of Israel, they are in the wilderness. And Genesis chapter 1 to Genesis chapter 2, Moses showed them the perfect condition of the world. Creation of God and the Garden of Eden, that's how the world was supposed to be. Then in Genesis chapter 3 to Genesis chapter 5, Moses told how sin entered into the world, how mankind lost the paradise, the curse of God that came, and how that perfect world became corrupted because of sin. So there was suffering and death. And you see this in Genesis chapter 6, as we saw, there was so much wickedness on the face of the earth, and God was going to destroy the earth with a flood. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and God told Noah to build an ark. The meaning of Noah is rest, or relief, and comfort. Noah was the father of Lamech. Now remember, there was a wicked Lamech, we saw him a little while ago, how he was boasting about his wives. He was the first to violate the ordinance of marriage, and that was the wicked Lamech, as he boasted of his two wives in Genesis 4:18-24, and how he boasted of killing a man. But there was a good Lamech also in Genesis 5:29, we see. This Lamech was the son of Methuselah, who was the oldest man to live on the earth. Now, Noah was the oldest of this good Lamech. And this Lamech, he prophesied that when Noah was born, that Noah was going to be a comfort, a rest. Noah was probably about 50 years old when Adam died. The ark where God told Noah to build was a huge, more than a three-story house, huge house floating on water. The length of the ark was about 450 feet, and it was 75 feet wide, and it's about 45 feet in height. So it was massive. The Bible introduced Noah when he was 500 years old, and he entered the ark when he was 600 years old. So it took Noah about 100 years to build the ark. Now Noah was in the ark for 370 days. Then God is the one who shut the door and opened the floodgates of heaven, and it rained continuously without stopping for 40 days. Now there was only 8 people in this big, floating, massive 3-story house. But Noah and his family were there, and also there were animals where God told Noah to bring to the ark. The ark floated on the waters on the earth for 150 days. Then after the floods, God commanded Noah to exit the ark Noah lived after the flood for another 350 years. And all the days of Noah was 950 years. Now, one thing I forgot to tell you was these people during those days, they lived 6, 7, 8, 900 years. At the same time, it says that they died. And here we see the result of sin was death. No matter how long you lived, they died. But there was one man who never tasted death. Enoch never tasted death. And that's a picture to show that there is hope for mankind. Death is going to be conquered one day through the Lord Jesus Christ. So, remember in the beginning of God's creation, it was perfect in order. And there was a cultural mandate that God gave to Adam. Genesis 1:28 says, "And God blessed them. And God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it." Now that was a cultural mandate that God gave to Adam and Eve to be fruitful and to multiply. Now that it was a perfect order. That perfect order was destroyed because of sin and corruption. God destroyed all humanity. Now when God destroyed that all humanity, when Noah came out of the ark, basically, it's a new world. It's a type of a new world. Now God reestablished that cultural mandate again when he told Noah in Genesis chapter 9 verse 1, just like how God told Adam, God reestablished that cultural mandate and God said, God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. So after the Noah's flood, it was more like a new earth, more type of a new earth, and that cultural mandate was given back again to Noah. But it was not a perfect earth like before, but God brought it back by going into deeper and deeper into sin and to corruption, you know, God brought it back again to a better condition. Now, what was the first thing that brought corruption to humanity? The first thing that brought corruption to humanity, it was Adam and Eve's sin, right? Yes. What's the next big event that caused corruption? After that, the biggest next event that caused corruption, you know what it was? Genesis chapter 4, it was Cain killing his brother Abel. When Noah came out of the ark, one of the immediate things that God commanded Noah was, Genesis chapter 9, verse 5, God gave Noah an immediate commandment. And God said, For your lifeblood I will require a reckoning. From every beast I will require it, and from man, from his fellow man, I will require a reckoning from his life of man. Whosoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed, for God made man in his own image. Here we see God established a new ethical order, that is capital punishment, because God saw what happened to Abel. God did not want that to happen. So God told Noah, again, God made the covenant with Noah, and God said to Noah, never again, he is going to destroy mankind with a flood. And God set a sign with what? You see, a rainbow, right? Now, in Genesis chapter 9, verse 16, when the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth. In your Bibles, probably some other Bibles might say rainbow. But the correct translation is not rainbow, it's bow. In the original Geneva Bible, King James Bible, and the ESV Bible says bow. Now, it is so important that it should be bow, not rainbow. Now, what I am saying is, the bow has to do with arrows, right? You get the bow and arrows, right? If you see a rainbow, this bow is not directing at mankind. It's in the opposite direction. God's bow in the sky is not pointing towards mankind, but it's in the opposite direction that the bow is not pointing towards mankind, but it's in the opposite direction. That shows God's demonstration of peace instead of judgment. So Moses is telling the children of Israel here, Egypt was a picture of the corrupted world. Just like during the Noah's time, Egypt was like a picture of the corrupted world. Now God is going to deliver the children of Israel just like how Noah delivered them from the corruption into a new land. Israel will be delivered from the corrupted world of Egypt into the land of milk and honey. But now the Israelites, they are in the wilderness and they are seeing things in a negative way. The wilderness became a place of great hardships and difficulties, and they began to murmur and saying in Numbers 11 verse 5 says, the Israelites said, we remember the fish we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers, the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlics. So children of Israel, instead of looking forward to the land of milk and honey, they wanted to go back to Egypt. And that view is false. That's a false view. Israelites saw the deliverance from Egypt brought nothing but trouble in the wilderness because they were walking by sight, not by faith. Now remember how the Lord told Moses to send some spies to the land of milk and honey? Remember that? And when the spies came, 10 out of 12 said, there's no way we can conquer this land because there are giants there and we are like grasshoppers. There are huge buildings there and we cannot conquer. Then everybody cried. Numbers 14:1 says, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and they cried. And the people wept that night, and all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in the wilderness? So they wanted to go back, and they thought, there's no way we can conquer this land. Giants, big buildings, we are like grasshoppers. They were walking by sight, not by faith. Now, but Moses is telling the Israel, that's a false view. But God had already ordained that this land is going to be delivered to the children of Israel. And they need to be trust in God by faith alone. Just like how Noah was delivered from the corruption during that time, you are going to be delivered. Noah was delivered by faith. In the same way, you need to be delivered by faith too. So there is a parallel and a similarity between Noah and Moses. The name Noah means rest. And also, the land of Canaan, the land of milk and honey, is also called a place of rest. So there is a similarity. It had the same meaning of Noah, the land of Canaan, the milk and honey. Noah brought rest from the violence of corruption. So does Moses is going to bring rest, violence and corruption of the Egyptians. So Moses is telling the Israelites, I am a type of Noah. Noah delivered the world from the judgment of God. So just like Noah, me, Moses, is going to deliver you, children of Israel. God delivered Israel from the Egyptians as the Pharaoh's army was drowned by the judgment of God. And Noah and his family were delivered from the flood waters. So Moses is telling me too, I'm going to deliver you through the Red Sea from the waters. So during the time of Noah's time, there was judgment and deliverance by the waters. So during the time of Moses, there was judgment and deliverance by waters. So there is a similarity. There's a parallel between Moses and Noah. And Moses is telling the Israelite that, you know, your view is the false view. It's not the true view. The false view is to see in a negative way and to see all the difficulties in the wilderness and go back to Egypt. Because you are saying the enemies are like giant. There is no way to conquer. That's the false way. At the same time with Noah. Man, when God told Noah to build an ark, he was against the majority. There is no way he can do that because only he and his family trusted in the Lord. All millions of people were against him. But Noah was delivered. So Moses is telling, you got to stand on the promises of God and God will do it. But the children of Israel say, no, we got to go back because they are going by their feelings. That's why we as Christians, when we see the situations and circumstances and the hardship, don't ever, ever go by your feelings because your feelings is very deceptive. You got to trust in the Word of God. We cannot please God without faith. So the true view is, just like in the days of Noah, how God told Noah to build an ark, and he and his family were finally going to be delivered from the corruption of the world, Noah believed by faith and began to build the ark. And God fulfilled that promise as he delivered Noah and his family from the corruption of the world. Now God is using Moses in the same way to deliver the children of Israel to the land of rest. Just like Noah was called rest, children of Israel is going to be delivered to the land of rest. Like Noah, Israel need to believe God's word by faith alone. Because Noah was a just man, he believed. He didn't ask God, how are you going to do, God, when there is no rain? No questions asked. By faith alone, Noah and his family were delivered. In the same way, Israel needs to be delivered. If they are going to go to the land of milk and honey, it has to go by, they had to go by faith alone. Now that is the historical perspective. You understand? It's so important to see that. Now I'm going to give some practical values, application. But it's so important to see the parallel between Moses and Noah and to see who are the audience, who is the speaker. They are talking to the Israelites. Moses is the one who is speaking these things to the children of Israel on the way to the land of milk and honey. Application. Apostle Peter, he sums this up so beautifully. If you turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 5 to 7. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 5 to 7, Apostle Peter says, for this they willfully forget, that the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perishing of ungodly men. And see verse 13. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Now, what Peter is saying here, let me explain this. What we studied here, Peter puts this in a real nice perspective. Basically, this is what Peter is saying. In verse 5, Peter is telling the old earth and heavens, which was the perfect creation of God. In verse 5. Verse 6, Peter is telling what happened to that perfect earth as God poured out his judgment through the flood. Right? So all mankind died, drowned, except Noah and his family. Verse 7, Peter is telling the present earth, that we live now, all right, and heavens, which is also corrupted, just like in Noah's days now. But God is going to reserve again his judgment to destroy the ungodly. So in verse 13, Peter says that we as Christians, we need to look for that new heavens and the new earth which righteousness dwells. Just like Noah was delivered by God through judgment, Noah was delivered. In the same way, Moses was going to deliver the children of Israel to the promised land. Same way, we are going to be delivered to a new earth and a new heaven. You can see the parallels so good. So today, we are living in a world of full of sin. There's corruption. It is no different than the Noah's days. And it was no different than the days of Moses when Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey?" People are attacking God, coming against God's principles as we are living in an evil generation. And children of Israel were negative in their thinking. As they went by their feelings, not by faith, they grumbled and began to murmur. They feared their enemies and they did not trust in God. Now, the same way as Christians, we are living in a generation of corruption. And we should not take the example of how the children of Israel walk. We should walk by faith alone. And you know what? Jesus is our deliverer who is going to deliver us from evil and sin. Noah and Moses, they were both shadows of Christ. Okay? So Noah and Moses were both shadows of Christ. The ultimate deliverer is going to be our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is going to come to deliver his people from the ungodly and corrupted world. That's what Peter was saying. Peter put that beautifully, summarized everything what we studied. History should educate us that we should not be like the children of Israel. We should not be negative, not walking according to our feelings, but by faith. Hebrews chapter 4:11 says, "Let us therefore strive to enter that rest." We need to strive to enter that rest. You know, striving is basically, I believe the Greek word is agonizo. Okay, I didn't look at it, but I'm sure it must be agonizo. Okay, just like Jesus said, strive to enter the narrow road, narrow gate. So, let us strive to enter. That means we need to agonize to enter that land of rest. Just like Noah agonized building an ark for 100 years, just trusting in the word of God, in his promises. Moses agonized with the children of Israel in the wilderness with all the difficulties and hardships and everything that came against them. They agonized to enter the land of milk and honey. Even when they saw giants living there, they agonized to enter. In the same way, we are living in a corrupted, wicked, ungodly world where you will hear everything coming against Christianity today and against our God and against your lifestyle. And we are going to be persecuted, but we need to run the race just like Noah and Moses. We need to agonize to enter into the land of rest so that no one may fall the same sort of disobedience. That means in the wilderness, a lot of people fell because of their disobedience, because they walked by their feelings. How many times in your lifetime, at work, in school, things comes, happens, situations happens, and a lot of times you get upset, angry, agitated, because you look to the feelings instead of trusting in the Word of God. So we are in the wilderness right now, and we are walking towards the land of milk and honey. Our land of milk and honey, the real land of milk and honey, is heaven. So Jesus is the ultimate rest. As Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 29, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in the heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls." You see that? Rest. We were studying on Noah. The meaning of Noah was rest. He was going to be a rest from the ungodly people, from the corruption of that world. Moses was taking the children of Israel to the land of rest. And Jesus said, "You will find rest." For us, we can also find rest. That because Jesus is the ultimate rest. If we trust in Him. Because you know what? Men's hearts are very proud. Very prideful. And they are black and lustful. But look at Christ's heart. He's meek and lowly. That is our encouragement, not looking to our hearts, but we need to look at to Christ, because He is meek, He is lowly, and that is our encouragement. We were slaves to sin, but Christ redeemed us from slavery, and He brought rest to our souls. We too are living in an ungodly, sinful, corrupted world. There is enough headaches for us in this world. But we are to live a holy life. We need to live a sanctified life. We need to live a godly life in an ungodly world. So, just like the children of Israel, they had the false view. In the same way, we should not have the false view. Because the children of Israel wanted to have the delicacies of Egypt. They wanted to have the delicacies of sin. We should not go back to the world and to have delicacies of the world of sin. Because we need to see the true view. The true view is God's view, because God's view is like a rock. It cannot be destroyed, because on this rock stands our promises. Our promises are like a rock. It never fails, so we need to look forward to our Lord and Savior who will come and deliver us from this world. We need to learn that lesson and trust in our mighty deliverer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus also said in Luke chapter 17, verse 26, Jesus said, "Just as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the days of the Son of Man. They were eating and drinking and marrying and being given in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all." So here, just like in the days of Noah, that means how were the days of Noah? Corruption, right? Wickedness, right? Violence, that's all what we see today. You put the TV, that's all what you hear is bad news. You look at the newspapers, everything what you see is bad news. And this is the good news, the Word of God. So, Jesus said, that's when He comes, will He find faith on the face of the earth? The answer is negative, no. Noah was called a preacher of righteousness. 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 5 says, he was a preacher of righteousness. That means Noah was an upright, sincere, godly man, and he lived in the midst of a crooked generation. And Noah never compromised, never bowed down to their evil ways. When God told Noah to build the ark, it seemed absurd to build an ark, because during that time there was no rain. No rain, absolutely no rain. So when God told Noah to build a big ark, what would people think what Noah was doing? They would have laughed at him, mocked at him, ridiculed him. So there were multitudes of people, evil people, probably they were making fun at Noah. Maybe Noah became the laughingstock of the people. Huh? I'm sure there was so much pressure on Noah and his family. Everybody is against them and laughing at them. Just imagine the pressure that they face. Are they going to go according to the people's ways? You know, if you love the people's ways, the worldly ways, the pressure will be taken out. No problem. But then you're disobedient to God. Here, there was tremendous pressure on Noah and his family, but they did not walk according to their feelings, but trusted in God's word. Noah and his family did not quarrel either. Just imagine when God told Noah to build an ark. The wife said, "No way, you're not going to build that. I'm not going to allow you to build that. Look, everybody is again, they're mocking at you, and you come and sit here and do this." No. Wife was submitted to Noah. And the children were submitted. The family stood together as the whole family. They were obedient to God's call. And Noah and his family, they loved and feared God. Noah, he was a preacher. He was called a preacher of righteousness. That means he preached. He preached righteousness, right? But nobody wanted to listen. Nobody listened to Noah, and probably they laughed at him, but the family believed. God opened the floodgates, and rain came pouring down. People remembered the words of Noah when the rain came, when God opened the floodgates. Probably they all ran into the ark. Millions of people now coming to the ark, because ark was the only place of refuge. There's no other place. That's the only place that you can be saved. But it was too late, as God shut the door. Yes, my beloved, the ark is a type of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the only refuge. He is the only way that people can be saved. Those of you who are living in sin and enjoying your worldly lust, enjoying your worldly passions, many times you have heard the call of repentance. But Noah preached righteousness. People didn't want to listen. But it was too late when the floodgates were opened. In the same way, many times you have heard the call of repentance, but you keep on sinning, adding your sins, multiplying sins to your account. But let me tell you, God, His fury and His wrath is building up at the same time to those who are living in sin. You will not feel God's wrath because you are living in peace now. But when God's wrath comes, it will come in full force, just like how the floodgates were open. At that time, when the floodgates are open, there's no more time to repent. So when the time of wrath of God is going to, when that comes, there's no more time to go back and say, "I'm sorry, Lord." There's no more time. The time is this side of the grave, not when you die. There is no purgatory, by the way. So, my prayer is that we need to look at this picture very carefully. See the parallel between Noah and Moses. Same parallel we are living. Noah was delivered from that ungodly generation. God delivered through a judgment. That judgment was a flood. And Noah was the name is basically rest. In the same way, Moses became a type of Noah that delivered the children of Israel to the land of rest. Now, we are living in a corrupted, wicked generation. The generation just like in Noah's days, eating, drinking, partying, enjoying, you know, all these worldly lusts. But the judgment is going to come again. If the judgment came in Noah's time, it's going to come again too. It's going to come again. And we As Christians, we need to be holy, we need to be sanctified, and we need to love the Lord Jesus Christ from the bottom of our hearts. We need to put the Word of God first, and I pray that we will fall at the feet of Jesus and repent of our sins, and we will worship the God of glory, and He will forgive our sins and live a changed life that look forward to the rest that God is going to give us. Let's pray.